Hear the word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 26. Beginning at verse number 1. Deuteronomy chapter 26. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruits of the ground, which you have harvested from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket, and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You should go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into this land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." And when the priest takes the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God: Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number. There he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruits of the ground that you, O God, has given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given you and to your house. Amen. Amen. Gratitude. We'll talk about gratitude. Let us set the stage. Children of Israel, they had been slaves in Egypt for 400 years. They had prayed for deliverance. Finally, God answered their prayers. Called Moses from a burning bush and told Moses to go down and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Finally, Pharaoh let the children of Israel go, and they started out towards the promised land. How many of you know the promised land is not a day's journey? The promised land usually takes a while for you to get there. So, start towards the promised land, and on the way, they must cross a Red Sea. A Red Sea is in front of them, and Pharaoh's army is behind them. The Red Sea separates them from the promise. And not only must they deal with the Red Sea, they have to deal with a wilderness and thousands of crying babies. Hungry, no food to eat, no water to drink, hot, miserable. And all they hear, all they have is a voice from a prophet saying, God said, go to this place that I'll show you, and you will have a land flowing with milk and honey. You will have houses that you never built. You will eat grapes. You will drink wine that you never planted. The only difference is it's going to take you 40 years to get there. In fact, some of you will never get there because of your disobedience, but your children will get there. And here they are now. 40 years later, they're on the edge of the promised land. They can smell the grapes. The river is there. They've been traveling in this desert, this hot place, and now they're on the border of the Jordan River, and they look across and there's trees and fertile land. And Moses is speaking to them, and he's saying in this 26th chapter, he says, when you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess. He's not saying, if you come into your promise. How many of you know, the promised land is not geography, it's a promise of your future. God has given you a promise. Maybe he told you you're going to be a governor, a preacher, a teacher, a doctor. And when you come into your promise, he says, don't forget how you got there. How many of you know too many of us have amnesia? As soon as we get what we want, that thing, your promise, you want to know what's your promised land, that thing that you've been praying for day after day, month after month, year after year, that's your promised land. Been praying for a child. Finally, the Lord gave you the desires of your heart. You've been praying for a spouse. Finally, the Lord gave you. Maybe you've been praying to get rid of a spouse. And finally, the Lord gave you the desires of your heart. Whatever it is, that promise that you have been praying for, and finally, the Lord blessed you. And he says to you, when you come into your inheritance, don't forget that it wasn't you, because the children of Israel, they were not great warriors. They were just a group of ragtag men and women. They were not even smart. They were in slavery. But the Lord heard their prayer. God says, when you get into your promised land, don't you forget that it wasn't because you had a strong military. Don't you forget that you got this promised land not because you were so smart and you had these wonderful generals. Don't you forget that you didn't get there because you were beautiful and handsome. Don't you forget that it was me that brought you there. I'm the one who called Moses. I'm the one who gave you water out of the rock. I'm the one who provided manna from heaven. I'm the one who opened up the Red Sea for you. I'm the one who brought you to this land flowing with milk and honey. And when you get over there in your promised land, don't you dare get amnesia on me. But he knew. He knew that some of us would get amnesia. Here you are now. Got your PhD and gonna look down your nose at your grandmother. Who the devil do you think you are? This woman, this who cooked in somebody's kitchen, this woman that prayed for you when you were acting crazy. This, don't you forget where you came from. That's one of the things that bothers me sometimes. I don't have no problem for people going to an integrated church. I don't have no problem. If that's where your heart is, that's wonderful. But don't you get so high and sedity that you forget that little hallelujah sanctified church on the corner of Harlem that prayed for you while you were trying to get your little self together. Don't you get so integrated that you forget your roots. Don't you get embarrassed when somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Don't you get embarrassed when somebody say, praise the Lord. Don't you get embarrassed when somebody lift up holy hands. Don't you, you got to remember where you came from. Here they are, about to go into the promised land, and Moses is preaching. Moses wasn't even allowed to go in the promised land himself. So he says, when you get to the land God promised you and give you your inheritance. That's another thing that I want to mention right there, your inheritance. You know that the old folk who left Egypt were not allowed to go into the promised land because they were disobedient. But their sons and daughters were allowed to go in. Sometimes our parents pray for stuff that they'll never get themselves, but their children will get it. Some blessings that our parents wanted for themselves. They wanted to live in the suburbs. They wanted to get a good education. They wanted to make the money that some of our kids make when they graduate from college. They get these jobs, and the parents never made that much money in their lives, but they are receiving an inheritance that really belongs to the parents, because parents cooked and worked in some sweatshop and worked in some manufacturing job till they got cancer, but their children got the inheritance, and now you have got making all that money and you won't even pay your mom's rent. Something is wrong right now. Here she is living in a senior citizen housing, and the rent is only $150 a month, and you waste that much money, and you don't remember how it is you got where you are. You need to go to church. I don't know if you expected this, but I'm just saying, hear me today. Hear these guys out there. They are on the verge of the promised land, and Moses is speaking to him. He says, now, when you get to the promised land and you get your inheritance, remember, you ain't done nothing for this. Your parents prayed for it. All you did was you were born, and you showed up in the promised land with grapes and wine and milk and honey, and a good farming land. But the text does say that it was a good land to farm. And so when they got there, they at least had to plant the stuff and cultivate it. And took, I don't know, 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, 9 months. Said, when you get to your first harvest, I want you to get the first fruit, not the second fruit. I want you to get the first fruit, the first ripe grapes. This is Jackson. The Bible didn't say that. The candied yams. The Bible didn't say that. The collard greens. The Bible didn't say that. But it's like, when you get your first fruits, I want you to pick them, put them in a basket, and take them to the place where God's name resides. And when you find that place, whoever is the priest at that time, give them to the priest as a symbol of your gratitude. Notice what it says. It says, when you get your first fruit, I want you to gather your first fruit, put them in a basket. It did not say take them to Macy's. It did not say take, when you get your first fruit, when you get your first offering, you know, it didn't say take it to Atlantic City. It did not say catch Delta and go to Hawaii. It didn't say that. It said, when you get to your promised land, when you reach that thing that you've been praying for all of these years, when you get that job, when the door's been opened for you, I want you to understand, it's not because you're so smart. It's because somebody prayed for you. It's because of Rosa Parks. It's because of Martin Luther King. It's because of Malcolm X. It's because of Frederick Douglass. It's because of Mary McLeod Bethune. It's because of your teacher. It's because of your principal. It's because of your pastor. It's because of your deacon. It's not all about you. When you get to your promised land, you're riding in your BMW. When you're leaning, you drive that BMW.
BMW down to Mount Olive Baptist Church or some other church so that you can give God what God is due and you give God the praise for God making a way for you. You go somewhere where God's name is honored. You go somewhere and you just say, here, Reverend Dr. Whoever.
I just want to give thanks in my grandmama's name. Just want to give thanks in old Deacon so-and-so's name. I just want to remember old Reverend so-and-so who prayed for me when I was just crazy out there. I want to thank that one teacher who graded with some grace. I really deserved an F. I'm so glad that teacher went to Mount Olive Baptist Church and she or he knew something about grace, because if it hadn't been for that D plus in statistics, I would have never graduated. Do I have a witness in the house?
It says right here, when you get into your promised land, it says, I want you to pick the grapes. Pick whatever, put them in a basket. How many know we don't give offering in basket now? We take it out of our wallet. Might be a credit card, whatever. It says, you shall go into the priest, whoever is in office at that time, and say to him or her, today, I declare that the Lord your God, that I have come to this land, that the Lord promised, that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. And when the priest takes it, that's me, I take your offering. When he takes it out of your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord. I'm wondering, Armin was my ancestors. He went down to Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number. There he became a great nation, mighty and populous. Then the Egyptians put us in slavery. In other words, when you get to your promised land, don't forget you used to be a nothing. He says, My ancestor was Assyrian, and he ended up in slavery, and he was down there. In other words, he said, don't you get so big-headed because of your success that you forget that it wasn't you who made yourself, but it was God who developed you and matured you and made you and set you up and gave you a testimony, not by how smart you could be, but how great is our God. How great, how powerful, how magnificent, how marvelous is our God.
Then he says, we were, this goes according to, especially those of us who are African Americans, this goes part of our, this is, look at somebody and say, this is my story. We were slaves. Our ancestors were slaves. And I'm not, you Caucasians, you white persons in here, I'm not talking necessarily about you, but it is a fact of the matter that white folk in America enslaved black folk. And today, don't nobody want to talk about that. Don't nobody want to be honest about that. But Mr. President, Mr. Barack Hussein Obama, don't you forget your story. Don't you forget where we came from. Don't you think that everybody just loves you in America. 47% of folk can't stand you. And don't you forget it. But you thank God for Martin Luther King. You thank God for Rosa Parks. You thank God for these preachers who were praying for you out in the lands of Georgia and Savannah and Mississippi and South Carolina and Virginia and wherever they were. You don't forget your story. And I love the fact that we've come a long way. I love the fact that we live in integrated communities. And I believe in integration. But not if it means I have to deny my story.
If I got to forget about the struggles of my people, then don't integrate me. But if you want to be honest about the story of America, then talk to me, because we can go forward then. But if I got to deny what it means to be black just so you can love me if you're white, then I don't want that kind of integration. I want an integration that I can affirm who I am and how God created me, just like how God created you. You are special in His sight, and so am I. And I give Him the glory for what He has done for my ancestors as well. Hallelujah! This is my story.
So, this really isn't a text. You say, you're making this up. Right here. It says that when you come into your promised land, it says first of all, the Lord heard their cry, He saw their affliction, and He delivered them from their misery. How many of you know there's two kinds of deliverance that we need? We need a personal deliverance. Some of us are in such bondage in our own lives of depression, relationships, emotional, physical, psychological pain. And we pray for deliverance. Sometimes life gets us boxed into a space that we can't get out by ourselves. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You're just boxed in, and in our personal story. Everybody's got a personal story. And you and I need a Savior to get us out. And once we get out, the ancestors used to sing that song, "Tell me, how did you feel when you came out of the wilderness?" What'd they say? "I felt like..." And so when you come out of your personal wilderness, when you come to church and people looking at you, here you are stepping in your briefcase, and you fall out screaming, "Ah!" And I said, "What's wrong with her? That little miss master's degree, PhD, that just don't look right." Then you say, "If you knew what I've been through, if you all knew all the hell I know I look like I got an oil well in my, but I messed up on the inside. And the Lord set me free. I had to tell somebody. I was about to blow my brains out, but I found a church where I could tell my own story." And just like you need a church so you can tell your own personal story, you need a church where you can tell your own collective story. And our story is a story of Roy Wilkins. Our story is the story of Medgar Evers. Our story is the story of Martin Luther King. Our story is the story of Fannie Lou Hamer. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Our story is the story of Rosa Parks. And while I appreciate and I applaud integration of where we are going, never to the point where I want to forget how we got here. Because I know if it had not been for the Lord on our side, never would have made it. Elder, I want you to sing that song when I'm finished. "Never would have made it." I'm not quite finished yet. I guess I'm finished. I'm just not going to sit down. Here it goes. It says, "The Lord brought us out with His strong and powerful hand." That's the good news of the gospel. Wherever you are, whatever bondage you are in, personal or collective, nothing is impossible
nothing. You need a heart fixer, he can do it. You need a mind regulator, he specializes in people who are demoniac. You need a burden bearer, nothing is impossible for our God. And then once you get on the other side of your Jordan River, at least every now and then, tell your story. Refuse to let anybody shut you up from telling your story. You know, there'll be people, you know, now that they're on the other side, you know, they're just happy as they can be, and you just got on the other side, and you just got to tell somebody, they're going to try to shut you up.